Blog Talk Radio.
I can see clearly now the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright, sunshiny day. Gonna be a bright, sunshiny day. I think I can make it now. The pain is gone. All of the bad feelings have disappeared. Here is that rainbow I've been praying for. It's gonna be a bright, sunshiny day.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guest and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments you would like to make, please feel free to email me during the show or after the show at bonk@aol.com. Well, tonight it really is a bright, sunshiny day. There's great heat here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, of over 90 degrees today. So I hope you're having some relief in whatever city you're in. And tonight I'm going to be introducing my dear friend Susan, who's 3,000 miles away at least. How's the sunshine where you are, Susan?
No, it's gorgeous. I live in Central California, and right now our weather is nice, but I live in a climate that gets up to 110, 112 degrees, so it's coming. It's
coming.
I'm enjoying it for now because it's a brief, perfect season, very, very brief.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets hot.
Yeah, because then you have those California summers that are very dry, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Which is why we have so many, and hot, and that's why we have so many fires. I mean, the state
mm-hmm.
just dries up, and it takes nothing to light the state on fire. It's really awful.
Terrible. Every year, same problem.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you coming back on the show because you're one of my favorite guests here that people write to me about all the time. You know, Susan and I have been together
so
for a number of years now, and she's been kind enough to come on the show for a number of years. And she's a compelling speaker, and her story is so heartfelt. And she's also one of the writers for our book, Straight Wives, Shattered Lives, Book 3. So if any of you haven't read it yet, you may want to go to Amazon and get the book, or Barnes & Noble, and read some of the heartfelt stories that are in there from our women who are suffering. So, Susan, for people who don't know you from previously, maybe you can tell them a little bit about your story.
Sure, sure. And I just want to, you know, put a little plug in for your books that I think your books were the start of my healing process. And I'm not just saying that because I'm on your show right
mm-hmm.
now. I went 2 years after my husband left in a very broken state, and I don't know why I hadn't discovered you before, but I just went online and started doing research, and then I found you, and then I wrote to you, and then I think I ordered, I don't know, 3 or 4 of your books, something like that. And they came, and like I've told you before, when they came that day, I stayed up all night, and I read all of them, because for the first time in 2 years, it was like I was reading about myself, and I thought I was on an island by myself and didn't know what to do and didn't know where to turn. I hadn't been able to find a therapist who understood anything about a mixed orientation marriage, or they just were not able to counsel me properly. And I just can't say it enough. For anybody who's listening, you just need to buy her books. You need to read them. And you're going to find your story. And everybody's going to find their story. You're not going to be identical to anybody else's story, but you're going to go, oh, yeah, that one I can relate to. That one, I lived that. That one, I felt the same way. And every one of them is going to have a piece of your story together so you know that you're not alone. So important. So anyway, so my story is I was married to my gay husband for 15 years. When I met him, there were no signs at all that he was gay, even looking back on it after educating myself. Because, you know, you might not see something in real time, but you look back on it, and then you have a different perspective and go, oh, yeah, that's what that meant. Or I didn't know. I can see that now. And I can still look back and see nothing that would have led me to believe that he was gay. First and foremost, I wasn't looking for it, and you can bet I would look today, but it didn't occur to me to even look back then. And like, you know, pretty much all the world's population except for a small percentage, you just think if a man's dating a woman or a man marries a woman, oh, he's got to be straight because he married
mm-hmm.
her.
Exactly.
I still hear it today. And, you know, obviously, as we know, nothing could be further from the truth. And I don't remember your statistic, Bonnie, that you gave an estimation one time of what percentage of man-woman marriages you believe that the husband is gay. Do you have a statistic
for
that?
Well, according to the gay community and their statistics, they claim over 4 million. Because don't forget, some people marry twice. Yeah, over 4 million women have been married to a gay man. Because don't forget, some of these are serial marriers, as I call them.
Oh.
You know, when one marriage fails
because
they're gay, they'll go on to a next one. But at least
right.
a couple million of these men, you know, are gay.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. And, you know, I've got 2 of my closest friends are straight wives. And, I mean, I didn't seek them out through any straight wife source. They just happened to be my friends in the group of friends that I have. And so I know the statistics are high because it certainly hits home, but it's also nice. It's not nice that any of my friends had to go through anything, but it is nice to know that they get me and I get them. And it's so vitally important. And, of course, there's a whole reason for your radio show and your books and your Facebook and everything that you do, you know, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But in any event, so nothing in hindsight would have led me to believe that he was gay. And I was married before, and I had dated quite a bit. So my story is a little bit different than a lot of your women who went into their marriages having never dated, never having married someone else, didn't have a much sexual experience of any. And I actually had a lot. And so I knew what was normal. I knew what wasn't. But I just thought he was just kind of boring. And I had been through enough relationships that weren't boring.
Mm-hmm.
What's that? Anyway, that were not boring, that were more passionate, that were more interesting, more fun, but they led to terrible heartbreak because if he was handsome and fun and sexual and whatever, everybody
mm-hmm.
and his mother wanted him too. And so invariably, they ended up with cheating or breaking my heart. And so I'd gone to a therapist who just said, you know, the man that's going to be right for you is going to be a man that you might find boring. So when I thought, oh, his name is Matt, my ex-husband. when I met Matt and I started to date him, I thought, well, you know, he's kind of boring. And, you know, I went back to that therapist session who said, you know, the man for you might be a little bit boring. I realize now, Bonnie, in hindsight, that boringness was not, well, he was boring, but it was actually disconnection. It was just disconnection. Because you can't have connection without intimacy on some level, right? I mean, even with your girlfriends, for you to have a good connection with a girlfriend, you've got to share some intimacy, which is some really heartfelt, deep things that involve a lot of trust and all of those types of things. But anyway, nonetheless, I ended up marrying him, big wedding, the whole nine yards. So up to that point, nothing that made me feel uncomfortable other than I thought he was a little boring. We had sex. We didn't have a lot. It's nothing to write home about. It wasn't totally horrible, like, you know, oh, my God, I can't wait till this is over. Get off of me type of sex. But it was okay. It was all right. And I thought, I'm safe. Because he just seems to be the type to never cheat on me, to never leave. Oh, how I couldn't have been further from the truth. So here's the first thing that made me uncomfortable. Up at the altar, okay, church wedding, 35 people, something like that. The white dress, the whole regalia, okay? I'd been married before, but I had just been a little tiny backyard wedding, so I wanted a real wedding, and he wanted one too. Not a real wedding, but anyway, you know what I'm saying. So we're up at the altar, said our vows, and it was time for him to kiss me. And Bonnie, I can still remember it. With every cell in my body, he stood there stone cold, and I had to kiss him. He didn't even lift his arms to put his arms around me or up on my shoulders or whatever when he kissed, and he was like this cold fish. And it was the oddest, weirdest, and I just prayed that I didn't humiliate and embarrass myself in front of this entire church full of people, that they didn't see this. That he didn't kiss me, that I kissed him. And I just was so awkward walking down the aisle, like, what just happened? Because we had no trouble kissing before. Not a good kisser, by the way, but not this. It was the weirdest thing. So went to the reception, did blah, blah, blah. Okay, ended up going to our hotel room for the night. And we had meat and dinner, so we got something to eat. And it's probably at this time, about 1 o'clock in the morning. And he says to me, well, I think we need to have sex. We just need to get this over. It's our wedding night. And I thought to myself, well, that's a strange way to put it. That's an odd thing to say. Oh, okay, well, whatever. So it was the same sex we all had. And that went on for about 2 years. I was married to him for a total of 15. But on year number 2, sex basically stopped with no reason for it, no nothing. And at one point between year 2 and year 15, we actually went 2.5 years with no sex at all. And at that point, he was only 28 years old. Sure. He had no erectile dysfunction problems, nothing. He was 28 years old. And so at that point, from years 2 to 15, started a series of discussions that would happen about every 3 months. Some of them were just very kind and sweet on my part. You know, honey, I really love you. I'd like to see this get better. What is it? What can I do? Just let me know. And, you know, down to the other end of that spectrum of me being very emotional, yelling at him, saying, I know you're lying to me about something, but I don't know what. And to be honest with you, Bonnie, I was actually even thinking about this today, that I really didn't know what until maybe, or even suspect what, until about 3 months before he left. But so we had these discussions over and over and over again. Were you molested? No. Do you not like sex? Oh, yeah, I like sex. Are you not attracted to me? And the way he always answered that question was, oh, you're an attractive woman, right? Nice way to skirt that issue. No, he's not attracted to me because he's gay. And, you know, I've had so many people say, well, gay husbands would be more attracted to their wives if they lost weight. Gay husbands, it's so offensive. I can't even believe it because it's irrelevant to gay men. He's not attracted to women, period, regardless of what they look like. And I had a lot of years in there that I looked really good. Didn't matter. Irrelevant. Just didn't matter. I would get a lot of attention from men on a daily basis, nothing from him, no affection, no nothing. I could stand stark naked in front of him, wouldn't even look at me, just nothing. Put on a beautiful dress.
And I just want to interject, Susan, that, you know, I'm not saying this because you're on the phone. I say it to your face, and I say it to everybody else's. Susan is a beautiful woman. She's of model quality. She's like a Barbie doll with dark hair.
Oh, my God.
But, well, you are. I mean, you're gorgeous. I mean, really gorgeous.
No,
that men would straight men will lust after you.
Well,
gay men just want to be their cover.
Well, the cover part definitely summed it up, but it was really so confusing to me because
I would
be in a grocery store, and I remember I was in Whole Foods one time, and this man just walked right up to me, and he said, "Has anybody ever told you how beautiful you are?" And I was really embarrassed because he was kind of loud about it. I go, "Oh, that's so sweet. My gosh, that's so nice." But I never in a 15-year marriage ever heard from my husband, "You look good today, you're beautiful, I like what you have on," whatever. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. It was though that part of that physicality just didn't exist for him. I was simply the body in the role of the beard, period. End of story. Anything else just kind of didn't matter to him. I mean, that was I have to tell you, I played that role very well for a very long time. And so, anyway, we went through these discussions. And I'd go through a laundry list of anything and everything I could possibly think of why he would not want to have sex. And I would even say things like, "Well, I mean, you say you want to have sex, but yet we're not having sex, so what's going on?" And his response every time would be, "I don't know." "Well, why don't you want to have sex with me?" "I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know." And so it would always result with me saying things like, you know, as human beings, we're always going to fill in the blanks, right? We're always going to try, because we want answers for everything. We're just curious. We're curious. We're humans. We just want to know. And women especially, we love to know everything, right? So I would say to him, "Matt, you know, when you don't tell me why you don't want to have sex with me, I have no other place to go than to blame myself. Do you understand that?" Every one of these conversations ends up with me thinking, low of myself physically. I mean, do I look wrong? Do I feel wrong? Do I smell wrong? I mean, what is it? Like, there's something wrong with me. Is it my personality? Do you not like my voice? I mean, what is, right? We could go through a myriad of possibilities. But I would say that to him, and he would just stand there and say nothing. He just didn't care. And, you know, we'll probably talk about it a little further in the conversation. But he ended up, of course, being even diagnosed by therapists as one of the most immature and narcissistic people the therapist had seen in 35 years of counseling. And the narcissism explains everything. He didn't care. He didn't care how I felt. He didn't care one iota, what he did to me, how it made me feel. And, you know, the whole gay issue thing and being a beard and all of that destruction and the brokenness it causes, and just the doubt of ourselves and who we are and just everything, right? It just destroys us, is compounded, like, magnificently by any one of them being a narcissist, which honestly most of them, I think you will agree, are. Because why else would only your own needs come first and you feel it's perfectly acceptable to hijack somebody else's life under fraudulent conditions to be able to live your own the way you want it, or to cover for the way that you're afraid to live, or you're ashamed to live, or you just want to live in secret, or whatever else. Just by virtue of them marrying a straight woman and lying about it and living a life of fraud makes them obviously very narcissistic. But some of them are over-the-top narcissistic, where when they do make a decision to leave and they discard you, how you are made to feel is so, I don't know if there's enough adjectives to describe it, and I'm sure everybody listening who has had this happen to them gets it. You feel worthless.
I think one of the problems is, Susan, that if he would have said to you at any point, "Susan, you're absolutely right, there's something wrong, but it's something wrong with me, not with you," mm-hmm. that may have turned mm-hmm. the whole game. You may have felt totally different.
Absolutely. Yep.
You know, you may have felt
Absolutely.
Some sympathy towards him. You may, I'm not uh-huh. saying that if he found out he's gay, but I'm just saying if he would have started from the beginning by saying, you're mm-hmm. beautiful, there's something wrong with me, I'm going to try to get some help. I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm dysfunctional, this or that, but believe me, it's not you. But he never said those
yeah.
words to you, right?
Well, he's not that guy. Would have loved to have been that guy. And do you know how many people have said that? Well, if he only, I go, well, yeah, first of all, if he was that guy, chances are he probably would have been honest from the start and not have married a woman. But we do know there are plenty of people. I know one Mormon woman who married, and her husband came out after about maybe 20 years of marriage. And they had 5 children, but he sat her down one day, and that's exactly what he did. And he said, I was pressured to get married. This is how I was raised. I thought God was going to hate me. I thought if I got married, I would feel differently, and maybe I would stop thinking about men. But the fact is that I've known I've been gay since I went through puberty. And I want you to know I love you. I love you dearly. You're the best thing that's ever happened to me. I love our children. I want to find a way for us to parent our children, and I will always be there for you, always. And he has. He's been an amazing
okay.
person. But that, my friend, is the anomaly. That is not what happens to most of us at all.
That's correct.
We are discarded,
exactly.
and they go off onto the sunset happy as can be because finally they get to either do what they've been wanting to do for eons of time, or in my case, he's actually with another woman. He probably just met another woman who was not going to question him and was just going to, you know, go along with the program and live with the program, and that's exactly what we wanted. So I know the question begs, well, then how do you know he's gay? He married another woman, and I could start a laundry list a mile long. I mean, so there's just so many things. Beyond the sexual thing, which was over the top, blatant, that he just was not attracted to women. He never looked at – I never ever saw him look at another woman the entire time I knew him, which was probably almost close to 17 years by the time he left. He never called on another woman. I would ask him questions like, are you a leg man? Well, this is when we were dating. Are you a leg man? Are you a breast man? What? Nothing. I'm none of those things. I'm like, okay, well, that's kind of weird. My colleagues gave me a bridal shower. Came home with some, you know, Victoria's Secret things, and he said to me, you know, if you want to return those and just buy something comfortable, I don't mind because I'm not into that stuff. Well, okay. I think a lot of women would actually be relieved to hear that, right? That they didn't have to parade around in that stuff or whatever to please their husbands, if that's what their husbands like. Okay. That's fine. My younger sister and her husband told me after the fact, you know, in about 6 months or so after Matt left, that they thought he was gay prior to me marrying him. And I said, well, why didn't you tell me? And she said, well, we had a long discussion about it, and we really thought he was gay. But you were so happy. You were so happy to have finally met someone that you could trust and who was a nice guy. He was anything but a nice guy. He's the complete opposite of a nice guy. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing, just a passive-aggressive narcissist. It was terrible. It was horrible. Now, by the way, I don't blame her for anything because everybody makes their own decisions for whatever reasons they do, you know. And a coworker.
I think a lot of times people are afraid to tell us because, number one, they think maybe they're making a mistake. The guy married you.
Right.
You know, so maybe they thought wrong. Or number two, you live with him. You must know what's going on. So if you're accepting it, then why are they going to put, why are they going to create a situation that they could alienate themselves from you? I mean, look, I'm a big believer in telling people. But I do understand why people don't tell, you know,
if they're not as educated as you about the subject, they don't, honestly, they don't know. It is a very confusing situation. I mean, how many times have we actually seen, and of course we can spot them more readily these days after having gone through this type of situation, where I'll be in some place like Costco or a Home Goods or the grocery store or wherever, and I'll see a woman with a man, and to me he's just obviously gay. And I just look at her with such compassion. I just think, does she know? Does she not know? And so many people, when they kind of know the guy's gay, but he's in the closet and he's not out. I've heard this a million times, but I've heard it once. They think they have an arrangement. Oh, they must have an arrangement. No, they don't
exactly.
have an arrangement. She doesn't know he's gay. She has no idea he's gay. Now, I do
mm-hmm.
know two couples where the husband is gay and married to a straight woman, and they know it. But they got married on purpose to have a family. But their cards were on the table from the moment they met, and they made their decisions. And that's, I mean, that's an anomaly. That's not common that that really occurs. But I see it every day. I mean, I kind of look around now, given the, you know, percentage. I don't know what the percentage is of, I don't know, 15% or something like that of men. And I don't know, this was a statistic that came from you or some other source, but something like 15 to 18% of married men in the U.S. are gay and their wives don't know it. 15 to 18%. So I sit in a room, and if there's 100 couples, I'm trying to look around the room going, okay, which one of 15, you know, because they're there. And they're not always the guys you're going to think they are. They could be the most burly, testosterone-filled man driving the truck, and that's the gay one.
Mm-hmm.
So people are mistaken to think that they look a certain way, or they talk a certain way, or they dress a certain way, or they groom themselves in a certain way, or what
and
have you. Fought them.
My ex-husband was a martial artist, you know, Mr. Kung Fu.
Uh-huh.
So,
you
know,
yeah.
Definitely, they come in all shapes, sizes, football players, all kinds of athletes, and that's where people are led wrong. You know, I thought, oh, he's such a strong athlete. This is not gay.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't, first of all, back then we didn't understand gay. And even today,
right,
people still don't really understand gay. And today, there's so many variations of gay through the whole gay alphabet there, which I just call you're either straight or unstraight. So unstraight accounts for all these other variations now. So that's why I say I think it's a higher number of people who are in all these kinds of, I will say, non-traditional kinds of unconventional relationships.
Yeah,
for lack of what I really want to say.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, I certainly didn't have any education on this subject. I mean, pretty much nobody would unless they've gone through it, right? I mean,
exactly.
It wouldn't occur to them to look up how many, you know, mixed orientation marriages are there. They don't even know that term. And if you were to say that mixed orientation, what do you mean? They don't even know what it means. So, I mean, and that's part of what happens afterwards is the isolation you feel of nobody understanding and even worse, just making the most hurtful comments, and you know all those hurtful comments. I'm sure you heard them all yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you weren't good enough in bed, or you would have turned him around. He wouldn't have been gay anymore. Just really ridiculous
mm-hmm.
stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, he wasn't gay when you married him. How to be became gay after you were married to him?
Oh, that's a classic comment from the mother of
mm-hmm.
the gay man. He wasn't gay. He was, because, of course, she doesn't want to think that possibly she could have raised a gay son, because he doesn't get the fact either that that's who he is and that's how he was born. She thinks somehow she might have done something wrong, so she can't be blamed for it, right? You must have turned him gay because I didn't turn him gay. They're ignorant and they don't know. And it's easier just to obviously blame someone who's not her own child than her own son for such a disastrous, you know, situation. I don't know for sure that Matt's parents knew he was gay, but I suspect for a number of reasons. One of them being, I had a discussion with his brother and his brother's wife after Matt left. And his brother told me, his brother was about 3 years younger than Matt. When Matt was in high school, he went into his bedroom and he found a stack of Playgirl magazine, Playgirl. And his brother's name is David, just looked at him in horror and said, "What are you doing with these? What are you doing with these?" And Matt said, "Oh, I'm working on a high school project. I'm working on a paper for my journalism class." Yeah, okay, based on Playgirl magazines, like 30 of them in his stack. Yeah, okay. And I think somebody knows he's gay, you know, right then and there. But I, after after Matt left, and he just woke up one morning and said he wasn't coming home, and it was a really awful, awful situation. And that came about 3 days after probably the biggest discussion we ever had about sex, where I told him that I knew he had been lying to me for, well, at that point, it would have been about 16 and a half years. Yeah. You've been lying to me the entire time you've known me, and I don't know what I'm going to have to do to find out, but I can guarantee you I'm going to find out what you're lying about. And it was about 3 days later, he woke me up early. I was dead asleep, woke me up from a dead sleep, sitting on a chair in the bedroom with an overnight bag at his feet, and he said, I just need to let you know, when I go to work today, I won't be coming home. I want a divorce, and we're not going to discuss it. This is after 15 years marriage. This is his words verbatim. And when I asked him why, I said, why? I was in shock. I mean, I was a deer in the headlight level shocked. Just, I couldn't even believe it. Like, was I dreaming? Was I not awake and dreaming? I mean, it was real. And I said, why? And he said, again, verbatim, we'll never forget it. You're not supportive enough of my running, and you don't like motorsports. I mean, what a joke, right? He would never, ever talk about what was really going on. I was able to drag him to a marriage counselor for about 4 sessions, and that was the therapist that said after the fact, when I went to some therapy with him by myself after Matt was not going to go back anymore, who said that he was the most immature and narcissistic man he had ever met in 35 years of being a therapist. So when he got into therapy, therapists just couldn't get anything out of him. Well, why are you leaving? Why are you doing this to her? I kid you not, Bonnie. I mean, it sounds so, and it'd be funny if it wasn't so sad. He said, well, this is legit. I'm being completely honest. Well, we have company over. She wants the pillow straight on the couch, so she doesn't want me to sit on the couch until the company gets there. Okay, Matt, what else? Well, if we go out, she tries to find an outfit that makes her look the thinnest. Does that make you late for where you're going? Oh, no. She always wants to be on time. She's always early. We're good, good that way. I she just has to change her. He went through this stupid stuff, and the therapist actually started laughing. And he said, well, okay, you've pretty much gone through every complaint that a man might have about his wife, but why are you leaving? And he wouldn't tell him. And on that 4th session, he said to Matt, look, Matt, I'm going to shoot it to you straight. You haven't been honest with me the entire time we've been in therapy. And the next time we all meet together, you're going to have to start telling the truth. And I had gone to a workshop, for work for a couple of days, and I came back to a note on the kitchen counter that just said, I'm not going to counseling anymore. I'm not going to be coming back. I'm going to be filing for divorce. Again, we're not going to discuss it. It's over. Period. Done. Wouldn't say anything. Wouldn't talk. Wouldn't do anything. I mean, I was on my knees. I mean, I was just completely floored. He came back to the house a couple of times, me trying to get information out of him. And the only two things that he remotely said of any taking any part of the responsibility was, I said, Matt, I want you to be honest with me. Do I deserve anything that you're doing to me right now? And he said, no. I said, you haven't told me why you have done this. I'm very confused, and I don't understand. We've had plenty of time to discuss. Was it about all the facts of the fights that we had about sex? And his response was, you had reason. That's all he said, Bonnie. You had reason. So
can I ask you a question, Susan? I don't think I ever asked you this before. During all these years, did you ever do any snooping or try to uncover anything, detective work, look for clues, hints?
I did not because it wasn't in my head to think he was gay at all until about 3 months before he left. We had gone traveling, didn't matter. And we're in this like big gift shop kind of thing. And we kind of split up in this gift shop, and I went in one direction, he went another, and I just stood there and watched, and there was a obviously gay man following Matt completely around the store, three paces behind him. Wherever Matt went, this guy went. I went, ooh, this is interesting. This is really, really interesting. And so I was done, bought something, whatever it is I did, and I kind of went out of the store and kind of stood there waiting for him to come out. And the gay guy comes out first and kind of stands there, like I'm standing there waiting for Matt, right? And Matt comes out, and I can't explain what I saw, except for Matt looked up at this man, they looked at each other, and there was this thing. I don't know what you can call it. There was this connection thing that happened where it wasn't just a quick glance. They connected, and they turned around and walked towards me, and then it was obvious that Matt was with me, and the gay man was going, ah, like that, and walked off. They thought he was probably going to pick someone up or something like that. So as I'm walking down the street with Matt, and I go, well, that was odd. Well, what was odd? What are you talking about? I go, that man outside the door. What man? I didn't see a man. We can do a whole other call, Bonnie, about gaslighting. That's another subject we could talk for hours about. And that was used as a master gaslighter. Oh, there was no man there. I go, well, absolutely there was. And he was an obviously gay man, and he followed you around the store. He was three paces behind you the entire way. Good 20, 25 minutes in that store. I just stood there and I watched it. And then he went out and waited for you, and he started laughing. He goes, oh, you have such a vivid imagination. No, not really. So that was 3 months before you left, and that was the first time I suspected. I sat in the car on the way home, which was like a five-hour drive. I went, stared out the window. We barely spoke at all in 5 hours. And I just stared out the window going, that's it. This is what's been going on the whole time. He's gay, and he doesn't want to be gay, or he's not going to admit he's gay, or whatever. I don't even know, but he's gay. He's got to. He's got to be. And then, of course, you know, then I start analyzing things, started noticing, like, when I walked into his office, we both worked out of our home. When I walked into his office, he would always be hitting exit out of the computer really, really fast. And at a later time, when my friend and I did some investigation, found all his gay porn, some of it so vile and disgusting, Bonnie. It's like, you know, once you see something, you can't unsee it. Pretty horrified. I didn't know. I was not aware of some of the physical acts that gay men do with and on each other. And I was horrified. And I'm not a prude by any means, but I was horrified. I saw all the websites that he had gone, and I shouldn't say all. I saw because he probably had a whole lot more that he went on. But websites he went on where it's all the paraphernalia that gay men that sell all this stuff that they used to have sex with each other, and there's a lot of it, again, that you wouldn't even, you couldn't even conjure up in your own head, and they use on each other, God knows why, but they do. And I saw all of this, and I just went, this has been going on forever. This is why every time I walked into his office, he was hitting the exit button or the escape button on his computer every time, because he was communicating with somebody, looking, you know, for something. And since he left, I know of three men that he had affairs with, two briefly and one more long term, which he could in fact still have today, even though he's with a woman. I don't even know. Anyway, so that's my story. It was kind of long, and I'm sorry about that. But that's my story.
Not at all. It's very emotionally impacting, always. You know, the sad part is for tonight is that we don't have a lot of time to talk about it, and I really need to go through a lot of stuff with you that you've learned from all this. So we're going to finish up in a few minutes, but if you don't mind coming back, you know, in a few weeks, so we can continue this, because there's so many more things we have to talk about. But
there's a lot to talk about.
You know, I think one of the things we will be talking about on your next conversation is about the emotional impact that this has for long-time scarring on women.
Mm-hmm.
That just the emotional damage that it does of being of rejection. And it's interesting, a couple of our women post in our support group posted, you know, a link to a movie. I don't know if you've heard of it before, Dance of the 42. You know,
Dance,
a couple of our...
What's it called?
Dance of the 42.
I'll have to look it up.
It's on Netflix.
Okay.
And I was not familiar with this until I read about it actually yesterday in our support group. And, you know, it's really interesting because I think you, it's a hard movie to watch. You know, it's about a man who's in Mexico, and it's based on a true story in early 1900s. Mm-hmm. And homosexuality, mm-hmm. of course, was taboo. And he had to get married because he wanted some status. He wanted to be governor. So he married the president's daughter. And from the very beginning, just like you were talking about in your marriage, I mean, on the wedding night, he wasn't interested in having anything doing mm-hmm. with her. And mm-hmm. even though she kept trying to, you know, pursue something with him, finally, at one night, you know, he had some horrible sex with her, I guess just to make her think that he can have sex. And then,
right.
you know, he had
right.
maybe another couple of times. And then, like, within the first year, you know, he moved into another bedroom. And he said to her, well, I don't want to keep you up late at night. I come home late. And she says, I don't, you know, she was feeling, and you see the rejection. You see the same emotional impact that all of us have felt.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, how she thought she's going crazy. And, you know, back in those days, people didn't talk about that stuff. And he fell in love with this guy. And, you know, they were, this Dance of the 42, there was a club for gay men. And they would all get together in there, and some of them would dress up like women, and they'd all dance. They do have some graphic sexual scenes, which are hard to watch. As, you know, you're close to the situation, which for me took 15 years to get away from that. But, you know, you see it, then you just see how things play out. It's really amazing. But you think, like, here it is 100 and some years later, and it's just the same story. It's just different cast players, different actors.
It is.
Same problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's not like this ever goes away, right?
And there, it never goes away. And, you know, the public is under the impression that now that being gay is acceptable, that nobody's
right.
in the closet anymore. They think that everybody's out. So
right.
why would you marry a woman? Why would you marry a woman and be in the closet when you don't have to be? And they, well, okay, that's Hollywood. That's liberal areas of the world. That most of the world still frowns upon being gay, or if you're gay, they don't want to hear about it. They don't want to see it. It's not, I mean, I live in California, and I live in Central California, which is really conservative, and we have pockets of gay neighborhoods and this and that and the other, but for the most part, it's still not, it's not that it's, people think you're going to go to hell for it, but they don't believe in gay marriage, and they just say, you know, do what you want to do.
Even though you're in California,
where
it's the most. Yeah, but you're the most liberal of all places. But most places in this country are not like that. And I do understand. I really do. I'm sympathetic to men who are confused because they can perform. But, you know, I'm not sympathetic once they know the truth and they just withhold it from you or make you feel like you're the one at fault. You know, it is confusing.
Well,
I get it. But you have to at some point take responsibility for your actions. And that's the problem. They don't. They resent you. The resentment grows. They blame you for their unhappiness. They're not blaming themselves. They're blaming you. They feel like you captured them. They feel like you're their prison.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And you are. And that's why you get treated with such resentment. Because when they look at you, they see you as being the poster child for everything they don't want in life. And they're forced to cover themselves. So they actually, I think, deep down inside, they seize and they resent you and in some cases maybe even hate you. And so it doesn't matter what you do because every single move, comment, it doesn't matter what you do, will be absorbed in the, and go through their own filter of I don't like you. So what comes out on the other side of that filter, you're going to be criticized for everything. You will never be able to do anything right because their filter says they don't want you.
So, Susan, unfortunately, at this point, our show is ending. So, if you don't mind, I will get in touch with you later tonight and book you for June so we can now have the second part of this conversation.
For sure. We'll definitely do that. I just want to say
thank
you
so much.
To all the people listening.
Yeah, you are so enlightening. Thank you so much. You know I love you. I really do. And I will be talking to
you
in a few weeks. All right, ladies, have a wonderful week. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Love you all. Bye-bye.